What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the Matt Remitz Show. It is Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, people. All right. Presented by Quick Trip. As always, I got a great guest today, people. We're not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to talk about the draft picks. We're not going to talk about anything current. We're talking to the man who attempted to steal Vince Lombardi's hat and hear the whole story, how it went down. Did Vince Lombardi really take a swing at him? Did he connect? These are the things I want to know, people. So we got Roy joining us. This was such a fun episode to record. Great dude. Like, in great story. Like, dude, this is one of the stories I think should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, this story should be in the Hall of Fame. There should be pictures around. His name should be on the wall somewhere. You know what I mean? This is such a awesome, fun story. So I hope you enjoy it. As always, though, presented by Quick Trip. Best gas station in the world, people. All right? Got to get gas. Go over there. Get you some gas. Go inside, they got all the food, chicken tenders, macaroni and cheese, two of my favorites, all right? Just go buy some, eat them, thank me later, all right? Let's get up into this thing. Go Pago! All right, so I am here with the man that attempted to steal Vince Lombardi's hat, Roy Melamans. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the time. I think that this is like one of my favorite stories from the Packers history. I've been hearing it for many years, and it's awesome that I get a chance to talk to the man himself.
Okay.
So before we get into that, I'm just kind of curious, like, being a Packers fan back then, what was that like? Because the NFL wasn't like how it is now. Like, what was Green Bay like at that time, and like with the Packers?
Well, actually, my dad took me to my first Packer game was at at East High School way back then. So in about 58 was my first game. But then I grew up about 15 miles south of Green Bay in a small town called Wrightstown. And back in the 60s, we didn't have stadiums like they do now in high schools. You know, basically, yeah. Our high school had a section of bleachers that seated about 20 people, and then basically had roped sidelines for people to walk up and down the field with the players. As you know, as the game progressed, you know, people just walked outside the ropes and stayed with at the line of scrimmage type of thing. And you know, now football is really formalized, so to speak. It's when the Packers were celebrating their 50th year of the Ice Bowl, I remember somebody interviewing somebody that was a security guard at that Ice Bowl game. And his comment was that there was only 36 security people inside the stadium. That's all the number that they had. And when everybody was at the Ice Bowl, you couldn't tell who was security or who wasn't because everybody was wearing warm clothes.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell who was working for the Packers or who was security because they had to cover up their stuff with something warmer, you know? So you couldn't identify anybody on the sidelines other than players, because they all look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very easy at that time, you know, to get onto the field and which was very convenient for me.
Yeah. Cause like I've noticed that like with pictures and the videos of the Ice Bowl and even games at that time, like it wasn't like people wearing jerseys and people wearing all the Packer clothes. It was just people bundled up with anything that they could get to not freeze.
Exactly. Exactly. Recent recently. There was my son over in Minnesota said that a couple of years ago, or maybe about a year and a half, he saw an hour-long show put on by ESPN or NFL Films that was produced by Michael Meredith, who was Don Meredith's son.
All right.
He was born in the year of the Ice Bowl, and he's a film producer, and he set out and took him 4 years to do a perspective of the Ice Bowl from the cowboy side of things.
Okay.
And he put together I saw it on YouTube over the weekend, and it's you can get it on your iPad and watch it. It's just by putting in YouTube Meredith Ice Bowl and put in timeline, and that will give you this overlong production that he did. And there's two things about that production. Is that right after the Packers scored that winning touchdown with 12 seconds left on the field, you could see that a whole bunch of spectators that were near the end zone rushing out onto the goal line, pulling players off the scrum. There must have been 30, 40 spectators just rushed out onto the field and to congratulate the players. And the other thing that was brought up in that timeline was that there is a bartender that works at a bar in Combined Locks who was on the Cowboys sidelines. His seats were on the 50-yard line, near the 50-yard line, and the Cowboys had a dugout type of thing over their bench and they were blowing hot air off of one of them construction heaters,
yeah,
type of thing that was blowing hot air into this dugout. And his comment was to his buddy, he says, "They're warm in there. We're cold. I'm going to go down there and get in that dugout." And he did. And he got in the dugout, and standing in front of him was Don Meredith. And there was an interception. And the Cowboys got an interception. And Meredith, dropped his what do they call those? He had a cover and you know what says Dallas Cowboys on
it. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, and he dropped that, and this guy picked it up and put it on. So now everybody thought he belonged to the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and he took it home with him. and 50 years later, Don Meredith's son shows up at this bar and tries on this parka. And he just mentioned it to the bartender that he was Don Meredith's son. So there's a lot of people that were on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah, I think that's what's so funny. Like back then, like it was easier access. Like now, obviously, it's I think impossible unless you want to get arrested. But
what they did up in when they had this the Super Bowl up in Minneapolis recently, they have they hire people to be security guards that are 3 feet apart. So they hire now 1,000 of them, and they house them there. They bring them in, bus them in between the third and the fourth quarter, and they come in, and then they have ropes, and there's three feet apart from each other, and they surround the field with these security people with ropes. And I know that for a fact because I know some people that were hired to do that. They didn't get to see the game because they were housed or they were at some convention center, and then, you know, then they get bussed into the stadium at the end of the game, near the end of the game. So
yeah, yeah. They definitely don't want one of you running on the field again. So
that's right.
That day, so, when did you decide? Because I think everybody who's listening, knows the story, seen the pictures, even the video. How did you when did you decide I'm going to jump this fence or whatever it is? And because I saw you did interviews and stuff that you were behind Vince Lombardi for a while, right?
Yeah, I was kind of following him on the sidelines. Well, it 4 years before, my older brother got a souvenir of a park bench, which what the Packers use for their player benches, you know, 4 foot section of a park bench. You know, he and his buddies carried that off.
They carried that out of the stadium?
They carry, yeah. And
they just let them?
Oh, yeah. They just, yeah. Well, when you have a championship game like that, way back in the 60s, everything was a souvenir.
All right. That's awesome.
Anything that you could get off the field was a souvenir. You know, corner, end zone flags, the goalposts, you know, people would carry things off. For souvenirs. And so he had that souvenir, and I was trying to think, well, what can I do to get a souvenir the next time the Packers have a playoff game? And so then the New Year's prior to the Ice Bowl, I saw a guy on the field take Daryl Royal's hat after a bowl game. He was going in the opposite direction that Daryl Royal was and took his hat off his head and started running with it. And I says, that gave me the idea of what I wanted to do for a souvenir. Right. So, and that's what I planned to do for that. And luckily the Packers ended up winning the game. I don't know what I would have done if they had lost.
So, when did you jump over onto the sideline? Because you said that you were following around, and that was before the game. So, how long were you on the sideline before the game ended?
Well, I was on the south end zone, and at the end of the third quarter, I got up and with the idea of walking around to the west side of the stadium, and I came through the tunnel and just kept on walking down the steps. And basically, when I got to the rail, I just kind of looked around, waited for the next play. Is when the play was going on, everybody was watching the play. I just jumped over the fence and over the rail and got on the field. And like I said, you couldn't tell who was supposed to be there or who wasn't supposed to be there. So I just kept on, you know, meandering around the Packer bench, you know, just, you know, kept moving type of thing so that I wouldn't stand out by just standing there. And I just kind of looked like I belonged, like everybody else did. So.
So you just followed him around, and because I saw somewhere, were you in a picture with Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr?
No. Well, I was about yards into the sidelines, but I was behind them.
Okay.
And, when NFL films show the ice bowl, they show the star coming over talking to Lombardi.
Yeah.
And then he goes and they score the play. Then on the NFL films, they will show Lombardi turning and walking up the sidelines towards the north end of the of the field. And then it usually cuts off. But there's occasionally, I found on an extended view of that photographer. I found that in the Legends of Lambeau Field. What the cameraman did was take a few steps out onto the field and then showed more of the sidelines as Lombardi was walking away. And that at that point, you could see me on the sidelines. And then there's a couple shots of me of kind of following Lombardi as he was walking north. I was walking north along with him.
All right.
But 5 yards to the west of him, you know, towards the stands. But yeah, you could see me on, you know, people said, nah, you weren't on the field. And, you know, so eventually I was able to prove to them that yes, I was. And in fact, because I wasn't able to keep the hat, nobody believed me that I was actually there, had his hat for a few seconds.
So were you?
Until that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Until that picture came out into the newspaper 2 days later.
All right. That's great. So, like, the moment that you took it, because like, you said you're following him, and I saw that when you grabbed it, you went the other way, like, to his back. So, like, were you nervous, or did you just say, I'm going for it, and then just grab it and run?
That's what I did, just grabbed it and ran. What happened is that there were still two more plays to be had. Packers had to get all the fans off the field that were in the end zone, because they still had to kick the extra point. There was time for that.
Right.
Then there was still the kickoff that had to go. So there was plenty of time. Basically, after they scored the touchdown, what I did was go down to the 20-yard line and stayed on the sidelines there until the game was over and just kept my eyes on Lombardi. And then when the game was over, I just walked out onto the field, kept my eyes on Lombardi, and as he was coming by, I just, you know, went up to him and grabbed the hat and tried to run with it. But there were so many people down there that what happened was there's a guy that was carrying a bag of balls. He saw what I did. When I went by him, he grabbed me and stopped my momentum, and then by then, Lombardi had turned around and came after me. And so he just caught up to me within 5 yards. And between that guy and Lombardi took that swing from at me. He was I had my back to him.
Yeah.
And when the photograph was taken, it was sort of both he and I were kind of grimacing, not smiling.
It looked like you were smiling, but yeah.
But it was more of a grimace as I was trying to get away from this guy who had grabbed me. Yeah. You know, so
did Lombardi, like, so he swung at you, like, did he hit you, or did he just swing at you and then kind of grab you and then grab the hat and walk away?
It was kind of a glancing blow, and it was kind of a He said afterwards that night on that other video that he took a swing at me and hit. He said he hit me, but I don't remember him really hitting me. But it was more like his arm went around my neck type of thing.
That's how it looks.
Yeah.
So after that happens, like, they grab the hat, they go on their way. So then, do they just let you go, or did like did you get arrested? Did you get like beat up by security?
He just swore at me and told me to get the use the F word and get out of there so basically that's what I did. And I just basically walked down to the south end zone because that's where a younger cousin of mine was his goal was to get part of the goalpost, and so I met up with him at the goalpost, then there was a story on that too.
So have you ever because I know it's in the history books, everyone talks about it, been interviewed by multiple people, but like have the Packers ever had you in there? Like, are you in the Hall of Fame? Like, cause it's a historic thing. Have you ever had any talks like with the Packers? Like, has Lombardi ever said anything? I mean, he might not have been as happy about it, but I think as years went by, I think it's a fun story. But have you ever done anything with the Packers? Had any cool perks? Like, get to go to a game or anything?
No. I have not. The NFL Films contacted them because when they came to do this film thing with me at my house here, and then on a Saturday, and then on Sunday, we got access to the field, the Lambeau Field, to do some filming there. So they contacted the Packers about it. So they knew about the picture, but I think they probably only knew about the picture that after my son was able to secure it. And then NFL Films, when approached the Packers to get the okay to do some filming on that Sunday at Lambeau Field. I never contacted them. After this all occurred, I was thinking, I have four season tickets, and I was wondering what would happen the first game that fall, if somebody would come up and talk to me, but nobody did. Nobody from the Packers has contacted me.
Yeah, I think it's weird because I think it's part of history. I think everyone knows the story. People who don't should. I think it's one of the better stories of the ice bowl. I think it's fun. So I think the Packers should say, this is the guy. And I don't know, give you the fan of honor or something. I don't know. But it's an incredible story. But, so like, this is a story you've just been telling your whole life. Cause that's what I would do. Like that is, and I know like we mentioned that you were on ESPN, you're on a buddy of mine, Ben's podcast. And I'm Jason Wilde wrote a story about you. You're like a Packer, like, you know, fan history. People love it.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting. You know, it all came about when my son was able to find that picture that was in the newspaper, 53 years ago, and was able to come up with it. And he was the one that called in on Jason Wilde's radio show when they were talking about Packer souvenirs. And and the funny thing about it is when NFL Films came out and did that filming of this incident, and they had pictures of me stealing taking that hat off, but it was I had never seen it prior to the middle of the last decade. They said that NFL Films had done a story about maybe about 8 years ago. And one of the last clips that they took out of that edited version was of me taking that hat off of his head. And the reason was is that they didn't know who did that.
All right.
And they said, if we ever find out who did that, who that guy is, we're going to do a story about it. And so then when Jason Wilde wrote the story on ESPN website, then they knew who it was. So then they contacted us to get the story, because they had the, because in the article that Jason Wilde wrote up, my son says, we're still looking to find a video of me taking the hat off of his head. And they didn't know if anything existed. And NFL Films knew they had it.
Oh, all right.
So when they came to us, they brought that footage. And then I showed them the footage that I had found of me kind of stalking Lombardi on the sidelines. So then when they did their version of, they combined both film aspects of the showing me on the sidelines and also showing me taking the hat off of his head.
All right, so your son made it all happen. That's pretty awesome. So did you get a souvenir that day? Did you end up getting anything else?
Well, yes. Well, I helped my cousin get a souvenir.
All right.
Besides having warm clothes, wearing warm clothes, I also had a hacksaw underneath my coat.
You brought a hacksaw with you because you knew what was going to happen.
Well, I knew if I couldn't get the hat, I was going to help my cousin get a goalpost. So when we got down after the experience with Lombardi, I went caught up with him on the south end zone, and he and about 10 people were claiming an upright. And I came in and I pulled out the hacksaw and was starting to slice off pieces of the goalpost. But it was so cold, somebody jostled me and the hacksaw broke. So one of the 10 guys said, hey, I live about 3 blocks from the stadium. I have an acetylene torch. Let's take it to my house and I'll cut up pieces. So that's what we did. We carried out the upright out of the stadium and carried it over to his house. And he spent the next 2 hours sawing off pieces with his acetylene torches.
That's amazing. So is that picture that you see, like with the goalpost going down?
Yeah.
So like that was all you guys, huh?
Well, that was both goalposts went down.
Yeah.
The picture that you see in on the video of me is the picture of the bent north goalpost, but the same thing was going on the south end.
All right.
Way back in those days, goalposts they had to replace goalposts off every championship game in the 60s. You know, they all came down from spectators. It wasn't probably until the 70s when they started bringing in cops with horses to protect the goalposts and things like that. So up through the 60s, you know, they all came down in celebration.
That is so awesome. Yeah, at some point, like, hey, we got to quit buying goalposts. This is getting expensive. So we had to shut it down.
Right.
No, but that's an amazing story. I appreciate you coming on and sharing with me. Dude, like, I, how many times do you think that you've told that story, like, in your lifetime? Is it, like, in the millions?
Oh, gosh. A thousand.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, that's got to be, like, anybody that meets you, it's just like, I need to hear this.
Well, I heard about the Lombardi comments made about it, you know, that evening in his basement. That's part of the but the NFL film shows. But yeah. I knew about that way back in the 80s because my work at a hospital got me involved with a medical sales rep for medical orthopedic supplies.
All right.
And he's a former Packer running back. And he had, I told him the story, and he says, well, I heard that Lombardi did mention about somebody trying to steal his hat during the Ice Bowl. And he knew about that because of the PR people at the Packers.
All right.
So, yeah, so it was kind of interesting that, you know, ran into somebody who knew about this offhand before I told them the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people have seen that video of Lombardi. I always thought that was funny because you mentioned like how he said, they're like, did you hit him? He goes, oh yeah. And then he kind of looks at his wife and she's staring at him and he's just like, well, and he kind of like calms down.
It was only $35.
Yeah. Yeah. If Lombardi. So at that time, like, I'm going to ask you this real quick. Cause like, I've seen the videos of Lombardi, the speeches, the quotes, you know, and all the, what was it like at that time? Was Vince Lombardi then like how we see him now? Was he like just the greatest thing in the world, or was he just like a coach at that time?
He was a very frugal man. Everybody knew that he was very frugal. And that around that time, well, there's that story about Jim Ringo who came in, who wanted a raise, and Lombardi said, oh, Jim, just wait a second. I got to go make a phone call. So he came back and says, you're traded. because, you know, he didn't want to spend much money. And basically the fedora is what I was hoping to get.
Yeah.
But he wore the something warmer because it was so cold. And the interesting thing about it is after the NFL films did the story about me, now they sell fedoras at the pro shop in Green Bay.
Oh, all right.
And in fact, my grandsons gave me a fedora for Christmas 2 years ago. So I wear that golfing now.
That's awesome. Yeah, so like, just watching those teams in the 60s, like how fun was that? Like they were just like, how old were you, first of all, like when this all happened?
I was 19.
All right. So like you like have memories obviously of all those 60s teams, and like how was it to watch them? Because like they're just so dominant, and like all the stuff that they did. How was that like as a fan?
It was very good. It was an interesting time. You know, I can remember years ago, even before that, when before Lombardi got there, how bad they were as a team. And then after Lombardi left, you know, then we had another 20 years of being bad. But it was a great time to be a Packer fan in the 60s.
Yeah, I bet that was exciting. Like just all the guys, like Paul Hornung, who's like he's my all time favorite, just because of all the stories. Like those stories, like of Paul Hornung drinking or like partying, like he was doing his thing. Was that like known back then, or like a lot of those stories that came out afterwards?
We knew that Hornung and Max McGee liked to party.
Yeah,
that was pretty well known, you know, And well, actually, and then Hornung had the gambling situation where he was suspended for a year.
Yeah.
And Fuzzy Thurston was, you know, he owned a bar too. So, you know, it was quite an interesting decade.
Yeah, well, like I remember Fuzzy's bar was right by where my mom used to work. Like, he was older, obviously, then. And as a kid, I used to go in there, and I get to meet him and all the things. So yeah, like, and those 60s teams are great. They're like, to me, like what made football. And that's awesome that you got to watch them.
It was. My wife doesn't like me talking about this story. She's always waiting for me to get arrested.
No, I think that the time passed where they can't do anything now.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me. I think people are really going to enjoy this podcast. To me, it's my favorite story. So thanks for taking the time to stop by and chat.
No problem, man. No problem.
All right.
Okay.
You have a good night, sir. Thank you. So there you have it, people. All right, Roy telling the story. Absolute blast chatting with Roy. This was a fun episode to record. And let me know what you think. Do you think, should the Packers recognize Roy? Should they bring him in? Should he at least get to go to a game that everyone know? Hey, the man's in the house that attempted to steal Vince Lombardi's hat. Got a little chokehold with Vince Lombardi. I think that he deserves some recognition. Let me know what you think. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Go Pack, go. Yay, yay.